Welcome to Udcast, episode 39. This is Head of School Dan Glass with you once again, recording live here in the Sound Lab at the Brandeis School of San Francisco. It is really fun, I have to say, as a recorder of the Udcast, to get to listen to that wonderful clip from Can I Kick It from Tribe Called Quest, with that beautiful sample that underscores that piece. We started the Udcast last year our intro and outro music was from Check the Rhyme, another Tribe Called Quest song, and we've decided we are going to mix it up on an annual basis with different music from Tribe Called Quest, because everybody needs a little more tribe in their lives, just like everybody needs a little more poetry in their lives. So I'm excited to share this piece with you guys today. I was thinking about the core of what I'm going to be sharing today in the Udcast, and the basic idea that I'm playing around with and that I've been thinking about this week is the power of the interpretive tradition in Jewish practice, and how much Jewish life and the sort of renewal of Jewish life throughout the millennia has depended on the notion that each of us has the capacity to understand and interpret the laws and traditions and ethics for ourselves. And it took my mind to a book of poems that my friend and colleague Debbie Artsmore, director of Jewish Learning, had brought to my attention in my first year here at Brandeis. It's a collection called The Ineffable Name of God, Man, by Abraham Joshua Heschel, Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel, who is somebody who has been a big influence in my trajectory into and through the world as a Jewish person. He was foundational in the thinking that created the Jewish renewal movement that Rabbi Bert Jacobson, who was the founding rabbi at Kehillah Community Synagogue in the East Bay, where I came up. He was very influential on Rabbi Jacobson's thinking, and subsequently he's become a voice that we're hearing a lot as we explore notions of the role of creativity in our approach to Jewish education here at Brandeis, and also social justice and social responsibility. But in his early life, Rabbi Heschel was also a poet, and I assume a poet his whole life, because I think, you know, being a poet is probably like being a president, a lifelong designation. So poet Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel wrote a number of pieces, mostly in Hebrew. And there's this lovely collection that was put out by Continuum Press that have these poems. Actually, I guess they're in Yiddish and English, not Hebrew and English. And this is a piece called People's Eyes Wait. People's eyes wait for me, like candle wicks for a light. Shamed brothers beg my help. Deceived sisters dream of consolation. And I, with stubborn boldness, have promised that I will increase tenderness in this world. And it seems to me that I will, in time, move on through this earth with the brightness of all the stars in my eyes. I love that. It seems to me that I will, in time, move on through this earth with the brightness of all the stars in my eyes. It's a beautiful line, I think, and a beautiful sentiment. And I love the optimism of what he's presenting there. So what I'm going to share this week in the Udcast is actually a Devar Torah, or a brief commentary on this week's Parsha, or Torah portion. And like many of you who are my listeners, I imagine, in reading and interpreting Torah has not been a regular part of my adult life. It was part of what I did in Hebrew school. I went to a Hebrew school where we had Wednesday after school meetings, and we sometimes had Sunday meetings, and we certainly learned to read and to some extent to interpret the Torah, although that was really left to the B'nai Mitzvah preparation part of that schooling experience. After my bar mitzvah, I was part of Midrashah, which is a post-B'nai Mitzvah Jewish learning program for high school students in the East Bay. So I did a little bit of Torah study as part of that as well. But largely then it was not something that I engaged with until I did a poetry project in my late 20s where I was thinking a lot about my grandfather and thinking about some of the role of Hebrew in Jewish life, and was looking back at Hebrew and the structure of the language, and also some at the Torah, and thinking about how that might ground a project. And I engaged with it for a while there. That project never really came together. I was never happy with sort of how it moved. But in any case, one of the pleasures of being part of the Brandeis community is that we do create a lot of time to engage with Torah, even for, those among us for whom that would not necessarily be a regular personal practice. So we have a Devar Torah or a short interpretive practice before board meetings, before a lot of our board committee meetings. We make time for it at retreats with the leadership team. And this week, I was invited to write a, quote, speed devar for a couple different board committees. And so this is what I shared with them I wanted to share it with you all as well. So this week's Parsha is Nitzavim Vayelech. And it's the end of Moses' parting words to the Israelites before they enter the Promised Land. And it's a fascinating stretch of basically a long speech that Moses is giving on what, according to the Torah, is his last day alive. It's interesting to imagine, not at the scale of myth and legend or biblical time, but at the scale of an individual human life, and think about what is possible for us in the concept of last words. But in any case, this parsha contains many famous dictums, such as "Life and death I have set before you, the blessing and the curse. You shall choose life, or choose life so that you may live." Right? I mean, you've heard versions of this out there. Also, a variety of core principles about Jewish practice. In this speed devar, I want to focus on the power of free will and the interpretive tradition in Jewish life. In Nitzavim, Moses presents the idea that the mitzvot or commandments given to us in the Torah are not, quote, hidden or far off, that they are not in heaven or beyond the sea, but rather very near to us, in our mouths and in our hearts. In the Talmud, there's a story that Rabbi Eliezer was in disagreement with some other rabbis about some kind of oven. And the Talmud is full of these fascinating stories about these really detailed disagreements that people had about different parts of Jewish law. This one, I think, pertained to filling in gaps in a stone oven with sand, and whether that was still a pure oven. But in any case, Rabbi Eliezer really believed his point of view to be correct, and he went to very dramatic lengths to prove that he was right. So he said, you know, if I'm right, that tree over there will be uprooted, or the water in that aqueduct right there will flow backwards, or the walls of the Beit Midrash, the house of study, will fall. And in each case, these things actually happened, that, you know, the tree was uprooted or the water flowed backwards. And the other rabbis responded kind of like, eh, what can you really prove with an aqueduct or a tree? Or what are the walls, what right do the walls have to intervene in arguments over Torah? So Eliezer says, if the law is as I say, if I'm right, may it be proven from heaven. And a heavenly voice proclaims, the law is as he says. But Rabbi Joshua, one of the other rabbis, says, the Torah is not in heaven. We take no notice of heavenly voices. At which, according to the Talmud, God smiled and said, my children have triumphed over me. I think this story is pretty incredible. The Talmud was written in the 5th and 6th centuries CE. To think that Jewish leaders were privileging direct interpretation and also, I mean, dialogic interpretation, right? They're wrestling with this stuff together over heavenly voices 1,500 years ago is pretty astonishing. I mean, I think mostly if we thought about, like, how were people thinking 1,500 years ago, especially vis-a-vis any kind of organized religion, there is, from the perspective of a 21st century human being, this sense of, like, oh, you know, that all would have existed in this realm of kind of magical realism, and, you know, it was very hierarchical. Whatever, you know, God says is the absolute truth, and the absolute truth is printed in the Torah or printed in the Bible in a way that is incontrovertible. And so that at this time, they were already saying, no, that it's actually our work to interpret this, to wrestle with these ideas and even with notions of God and God's power, God's capacity to set, you know, the boundaries of what is lawful or unlawful, or what is just, is pretty powerful and pretty amazing, and it speaks to the depth of this tradition, I really believe, of wrestling with ideas and of the work of interpretation. And I've said in many places, but like to repeat, that it's another version of the power of the interpretive tradition as we see it in Jewish practice is the fact that at a bar and bat mitzvah, we ask kids not just to read Torah, but to interpret it. What do you think this means? And I think it's a very powerful statement about not just the responsibility that we have to engage in interpretation, but also the tradition in Jewish practice of valuing the voices of children, which we see, again, as part of the traditional Passover Seder, lots of places. So I think all of this, this moment in this parsha and this story from the Talmud, speaks to the work we're doing here at Brandeis around empowering children to construct meaning for themselves. Because as this all shows, the power of this tradition is not in heaven, but in the mouths and hearts of everyone living and engaging with it. So with that, I wish you all weekends full of making meaning, my friends, and hopefully listening to the wise children around you. In the next couple of weeks, we're going to be bringing some special guests into the Sound Lab here to share some ideas along with me and with you. So look forward to a more dialogic mode of the Yudcast, which I'm excited about. Shabbat Shalom to everyone listening on Shabbat. Hope you have wonderful weekends, and thanks for listening. We'll be back with you next week.